your best from the winter's shearing.
Has this wool been taxed?
Oh. There go our prophet's men through Zacchaeus to Rome. But some catches in his purse, too.
Yeah.
Here they come, Zacchaeus and his tax collectors. Ever see such big hands? Ooh, sticky, too.
Well, has this wool been taxed? And what about that balsam? Let me see your receipts.
No, sir, they have not been taxed.
Mm-hmm, just as I thought. Men, count the cargo and tax them, and add a penalty for trying to avoid us.
But, sir, we have no intention of avoiding taxes. Mm-hmm.
Everyone has intentions of avoiding taxes.
Ooh, I think Zacchaeus has a grudge against the world for making him so short.
What he lacks in inches, he tries to make up for in gold. It's the weight of the silver, lads, that has pressed him down a foot or two.
That's enough. Now pay your taxes and be on your way, or else.
Or else it'll be off with our heads, and he'll still have to look up to it.
Mr. Too Short Zacchaeus will never give a penny back to us.
Yeah. So Short Zacchaeus must always look up to us with teeth spiders. So what does he do?
Soldiers! Soldiers, disperse this rabble! Use the whip.
For what he lacks in height, he uses Roman might.
All right, break it up. Now go about your business.
Jesus and Mr. Too Short.
Jericho was a crowded city, filled with traders, travelers, soldiers, merchants, caravans, priests, and many others. It was noted for its balsam, which produced a sweet perfume that filled the city and the countryside. In fact, the name Jericho means perfumed. In this rich city, tax collectors were busy, and sometimes had to call upon the Roman soldiers to keep the people obedient to the tax laws.
That ought to do it, Zacchaeus. Don't mind you now. Everything's under control.
Yes, thank you, Captain. Everything's under control. Everything except me.
Well, I expect things will get worse today. A band of men with someone called Jesus of Nazareth is approaching town. No use taxing them. Just poor peasants and fishermen. But the people are starting to mob him.
Jesus of Nazareth?
You've heard of him?
Yes, most Jews have. Some call him a prophet, some the Messiah.
Well, he'd better not start anything.
Well, he's a man of peace. Travels with 12 men. One of them is a tax collector, I've heard. A former tax collector from Capernaum.
But you're a tax collector for life, aren't you, Zacchaeus? A lot of money in it, huh? Well, be about your business. I'd better keep an eye on this Jesus.
Jesus of Nazareth. I'd like to see him. I must see him for myself. Perhaps he is the Messiah, the deliverer of Israel. But if he is, I'll be driven out with the Romans. I'm one of their henchmen. Yet I must see Jesus. I must.
News of Jesus' approach spread quickly, and soon the people of Jericho rushed out to the streets to see Jesus and his disciples.
Please, let me through. I want to see Jesus.
Keep your place!
But I can't see. If I'm in front, you can still see easily over my head.
Why, it's Zacchaeus, the tax collector.
Go away, traitor. Thief, friend of Rome.
I'm sure the Messiah doesn't want to see you.
He can buy my place for 1,000 denarii.
That money won't help him this time.
Go away, tax collector. Jesus is the Messiah of the Jews, not the friends of Rome. Go away,
yes, you better keep out of sight. I hear that Jesus' disciples can bring fire down from heaven. Whoosh, crackle, pstah, goodbye, Zacchaeus.
Goodbye, Zacchaeus.
Oh, it's no use. I can't get through. I can't even get a glimpse. But I must see him. How can I?
Hey, there's Zacchaeus. He looks shorter than ever from up here.
Hey, Zacchaeus.
Who's calling me?
Up here, in the tree.
Well, what are you doing up there?
To see Jesus.
You could get on somebody's shoulders.
Up in a tree? A big sycamore tree with stout branches reaching over the street. Of course. It's been a while since I climbed a tree. Here it goes.
Hey, look at old Zacchaeus. He's trying to climb up a tree.
No use coming up here, Zacchaeus. We don't have a denarius to give you.
You'll fall on your head and be shorter than ever.
Well, old Zacchaeus made it.
I just want to see Jesus.
But what if he sees you, a tax collector?
Here he comes now, right under us.
Yes, yes, I see them. And there's Jesus. I see Jesus. Praise God, he's coming right by this way.
Uh-oh, he's stopping. Looking up here.
You're in for it now, Zacchaeus.
What's the master stopping for?
He sees old Zacchaeus up a tree.
That's where all tax collectors ought to be. Zacchaeus.
Yes, master?
Quick now, come down, for I'm going to be a guest in your home today.
My home?
Master.
Yes, Philip.
Master, this man is a tax collector, hated in all Jericho. It wouldn't be wise to visit him. There are many others who will gladly have us respectable people.
Master, here I am.
Then let's go to your house.
To my house? Master, but I am not the most popular man in Jericho.
You are a son of Abraham.
Master, I'd love to have you and your disciples in my home. Let's go this way.
He's gone
to Zacchaeus' house. The tax collector. Jesus knew that deep down inside, Zacchaeus wanted to do right and serve God. So he and his disciples went to Zacchaeus' home, where the tax collector brought out the finest food for a dinner in honor of Jesus.
Eat, friends. There's more. Servants, bring fresh fruit. Take it to the master.
Ah, Zacchaeus, this feast brings back memories.
You're Matthew, hmm?
Yes. I've been a tax collector like you, in Capernaum.
And are you happy you've left that and you have followed Jesus?
Very happy. Jesus showed me no one's too great a sinner to be his friend. Even a tax collector for Rome.
No one, hmm? Excuse me, Matthew. I must see to the food. Anyone for seconds? Much more left over to eat. You have no excuse to go away hungry.
I'll have some more lamb.
Have some bread here.
Oh, these are delicious.
Lord, I have something I want to tell you.
Yes, Zacchaeus.
Lord, from now on, I will give half of my wealth to the poor. And if I find I have overcharged anyone on his taxes, I will give him back four times as much.
What did he say?
I know what's going on in his heart right now. It's nothing less than a miracle.
Zacchaeus, you have shown that salvation has come to your home today. Friends, this man was one of the lost sons of Abraham. And I, the Son of Man, have come to search for and save such lost ones as Zacchaeus.
Soon, Jesus and his followers left the garden city of Jericho and traveled across the mountain deserts and plains toward Jerusalem. It was springtime. Young birds were just learning to fly. Little lambs were running and jumping over fresh green grass, and flowers covered the desert hillside.
Hi-ya! Move along!
Keep those candles moving!
Pilgrims were coming from many different places, joining larger and larger caravans, all heading for Jerusalem, for it was the time of the Passover celebrations. Jesus and his disciples tramped steadily toward Jerusalem, even though they knew that the religious leaders there were planning to arrest Jesus.
Master, you say they will arrest you in Jerusalem. And why are we going there?
It is something I must do, Peter.
They'll have to arrest me, too.
It is me they want. As I told you, they will put me to death.
No, Lord. No, we won't let it happen.
Cheers for the king.
Since Jesus had no home of his own, he was dependent on the hospitality of his friends and disciples, and often, when weary and thirsting for human fellowship, he had been glad to escape from from the suspicion and jealousy of the angry Pharisees to the peaceful home of his friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus in Bethany. Here he found a sincere welcome and pure friendship. Now it was that Jesus returned to his favorite place, just 2 miles from Jerusalem, to again fellowship with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, whom Jesus had recently raised from the dead. Jesus also had another friend in Bethany, a man by the name of Simon. Jesus had healed Simon of the dread disease of leprosy, and in appreciation, Simon now prepared a banquet for Jesus and his disciples. Martha was asked to serve, and Lazarus was one of the honored guests.
Master, I am honored to have you in my home as guest at this banquet. You couldn't have made me happier.
Simon, you are happy now, but soon you too will suffer for my sake. Yes, Martha.
Master, is there anything you wish?
I'm fine, Martha. Perhaps Simon here, or Lazarus.
No, I could not eat another bite.
Nor I. But I am curious, where is your sister?
Mary? Oh, I'm sure she's around someplace. You know Mary, never here when you need her.
Well, don't be too hard on Mary. She's never been the practical type, kind-hearted, but not practical.
I know.
Do you notice that very fragrant...
What is that smell? A beautiful perfume?
Well, whatever it is, it smells expensive.
Oh, smells like nard.
It is. Oh, here comes Mary, bringing a whole jar of nard. Jesus.
Master. Master. Jesus. Lord.
What is that perfume I smell? The whole house is filled with it.
It's Mary. She brought it in.
She's opening the alabaster jar, pouring out the perfume on the master's head and his feet. Why? Now she's wiping his feet with her hair.
Judas, you don't look well.
Why such a waste? That perfume, it was worth a fortune, at least 300 denarii. It should have been sold for a year's wages and the money given to the poor. Don't you agree, Peter?
Oh, well, yes, of course. A year's wages spent on that perfume, just for a few moments.
Such things should be left up to me. I'd use the money wisely. Our purse is empty enough.
Judas, come here.
Yes, teacher?
Let Mary alone. What she did was in preparation for my burial.
What is he talking about?
You can always help the poor, but I won't be with you very long. She has done what she could and has anointed my body ahead of time for my burial. Mary, you have done right.
But it's still a waste. I mean, I know about finances.
I tell you the solemn truth, that wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, what Mary has done will be remembered and praised.
How dare Jesus reprove me like that in front of everyone? What Mary does is all right with him. But what I do never amounts to much in his sight. Doesn't he know I'm the only intelligent one among all his followers? I must take matters in my own hands or we'll lose everything.
Judas had no real concern for the poor, but was greedy for himself. Mary's unselfish act was in sharp contrast to Judas' selfish spirit. And in shame and anger, Judas began to form a plan in his mind that would soon bring Jesus face to face with the temple council and with the Roman rulers. But that was several days away yet. The next morning after the banquet, Jesus and his disciples left Bethany and started for Jerusalem. A large crowd followed them. Jesus came near the village of Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, just before Jerusalem itself. He called Peter and John to him.
Peter, John, go into the village. Just as you enter, you will see a colt of a donkey. This colt has never been ridden. Untie him and bring him here.
But what if the owner asks questions?
If anyone asks you what you are doing, just say, our master needs him, and will return him soon.
All right, master. Come, Peter.
The two disciples entered the village, and they found the young colt just as Jesus said. They started untying him when the owners rushed up to them.
Hey, what's going on here?
What are you doing with our donkey?
Why are you untying the colt?
Pardon me, good sirs. We're doing it at the command of our master, Jesus of Nazareth.
Jesus of Nazareth?
Prophet from Galilee?
Yes, our master needs your colt, and he will return him soon.
Well, go ahead, take him.
Oh, thank you, kind sir.
That's very kind of you.
The disciples brought the colt to Jesus. The master prepared to ride it.
But, master, this colt isn't trained. It will buck you off.
Yes, here, master. Put my cloak on its back.
Mine, too.
The colt behaves as if it knows who's on his back. Amazing.
Look, people are running over here. Look, it is Jesus of Nazareth riding on a colt.
That's the sign of a king.
Yes. Remember the prophet says, do not be afraid, O John, of Zion.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Seated on a donkey's colt.
Jesus is accepting the praises of the people as king. Our hopes will soon be realized.
Jesus is going to accept the throne of David now. Here come the Pharisees and the priests from Jerusalem. Maybe now they will honor Jesus, the king, in his glory.
Yes, maybe. One thing is for sure. They certainly can't stop this crowd.
What is happening? What is this noise all about? It must stop. The Roman soldiers will come. Yes, Jesus of Nazareth is riding into Jerusalem as king of Israel. Blasphemy.
God bless the Messiah and deliver us.
Stop it. Stop it. Stop this blasphemy. Stop it, this
yesterday. Out of your minds, people. He's not the Messiah.
He's not the king. Stop it. Be silent. Peter, John, James, stop this crowd.
We can't even if we wanted to. The prophecies are being fulfilled.
Jesus, teacher, rebuke your followers.
They're asking for trouble.
Stop them now. As a member of the council, I order it. Stop them.
If you don't, you'll pay for this outrage. It's blasphemy.
I tell you, if they kept quiet, the very stones along this road would burst into praise and cheers for me.
Ah, we must deal with this rebel immediately. Come, let's go.
Let's hurry to the council. We must deal with this rebel.
The procession stopped on a hill overlooking Jerusalem. The sun was setting, and the brilliant light shone on the beautiful temple of marble and gold. All eyes focused on the temple. It was a beautiful building, pride of both the Jews and Romans. From the brow of the hill, it appeared as a massive structure of snow set with golden pinnacles. At the entrance to the temple was a vine of gold and silver with green leaves and large clusters of grapes, made by the most skillful of artists. This represented Israel as a prosperous vine. Jesus gazes on the scene, and the vast multitude hush their shouts, spellbound by the sudden vision of beauty.
Everyone looks to Jesus, expecting to see in him the same admiration they feel. But instead, they see a cloud of sorrow.
Jesus is weeping. He is sobbing.
Oh, Jerusalem, eternal peace was within your reach and you have turned it down. And now it is too late.
Too late for Jerusalem?
Jerusalem, your enemies will pile up earth against your walls and encircle you and close in on you and crush you to the ground and your children within you. Jerusalem, your enemies will not leave one stone upon another, for you have rejected the opportunity God offered you.
The crowd was struck with a sudden gloom. Their praises were for the moment silenced. Jesus wept not for himself, but it was the sight of Jerusalem that pierced his heart. Jerusalem that had rejected the Son of God, scorned his love, refused to be convinced by his mighty miracles, and was about to take his life. Gradually the excitement returned, and Jesus and the crowd came into Jerusalem and toward the temple.
Oh,
He's coming. Jesus of Nazareth, look, the whole world has gone after him.
Quick, we must warn the high priest and try to stop them from entering the temple.
Oh, it is too late. Nothing can stop them. We've lost.
Here comes our Messiah, the King of Israel.
People did not understand how Jesus would set up the kingdom of God. Many were disappointed when he didn't call down the angels of heaven to drive out their enemies. Instead, Jesus entered the temple and for a short time just looked around at everything. Soon, the crowds broke up and went home. Jesus and his disciples left also and went back to Bethany. For many, the day that had begun with such great hope had ended in bitter disappointment. But Jesus knew what was God's plan for him, and steadily, day by day, hour by hour, he marched toward the greatest victory that the world would ever witness, when Jesus of Nazareth would become the Redeemer of the entire world.